The U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team, U.S. CERT, actually released an analysis report in May detailing 9 separate incidents between July 2014 and May 2015 where hackers stole what they call, and I'm using quotes here, Tom, bulk PII, personal identifiable information. And they're stealing from both public and private sector organizations. In fact, U.S. CERT wrote in the report, which we obtained, the cyber threat actors involved in each of these incidents demonstrated a well-planned attack and high level of sophistication. Remember, this is not just one attack. This is 9 separate attacks.
And Jason, just to clarify, yep, you say that was 9 incidents in which they actually got the data.
Well, it's hard to say because the U.S. CERT report just says basically something to the effect of, we saw activity that they may have, they likely stole. In fact, in 2 of the first 3, they specifically talk about government data. And in one of them, let me just quote the one, Tom, that says U.S. CERT responded to an incident where PII data belonging to hundreds of thousands of government personnel was compromised. So that's much more definitive, was compromised. There were some others that said they couldn't quite tell what they took or if they took anything, but they knew that there was problems and they're going after the data at the very least.
So glass on the floor of the kitchen, but not sure where the silverware is.
Exactly.
All right.
I think that's fair analogy. I caught up with several people about this, and Chris Finan is the CEO of Manifold Security and a former White House and Defense Department cyber official. He says the similarities among all these recent hacks is clear.
All the evidence suggests that this was the same group or an affiliated group to the perpetrators of the Anthem and the Premier Blue Cross intrusions earlier this year. And what was really interesting about those data breaches was that the data never showed up. You know, they stole a ton of records. I think for Anthem, it was like 80 million customer SSNs. And for Premier, it was even more detailed account information, I think for 11 million people. None of that identity information ever showed up on the black market, you know, criminal websites. And so the theory is that it was stolen for, you know, cyber espionage purposes, not cyber criminal purposes. And so it's interesting that we're seeing some of the same IP addresses, some of the same, you know, hacking tools used in the OPM breach. And so, you know, the MO may indeed be espionage.
This would be very telling if this new data gathered from this 4 million current and federal employees that was just stolen does or does not rely, show up on the black market for PII. Now, I also spoke with a government IT official who requested anonymity, and they say the espionage theory is one that's not getting a lot of attention, but really should. The officials say they see targeted spear phishing attacks at their agency where the email looks very legitimate, but includes a link or a document or something that's infected with malware. Now, remember, Tom, once the federal employee opens it up, the attacker is in the network. And in the end, that's what many people believe is trying to happen. The Chinese or whomever this is coming from is really trying to get into the network. And they're doing this through this latest breach, as well as, Tom, if you remember, the security clearance data stolen from USIS and Keypoint Government Solutions over the last year. This source tells me now they have a gold mine of data that they can email and even call and to figure out, again, a way to get into the government networks. Now, I also spoke with Mark Weatherford, a former Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity at the Homeland Security Department, and he's now a principal at the Chertoff Group. He says, unlike some private sector data, federal employee data brings with it additional reasons to be nervous.
The one thing that is a bit concerning is, you know, when you think about the government employees that have security clearances and access to sensitive information, having certain kinds of this information can make them, you know, more susceptible perhaps to blackmail and extortion and things like that. So that, you know, that's one of the concerns I think that that is a little bit higher for government employees.
Now this brings us to the question, well, why wasn't this data encrypted at rest? Or if it was, why were the hackers able to break the encryption? Both Finan and Weatherford expressed concern and asked questions, was OPM's data encrypted? In fact, I asked Finan that question. He says, based on the reports he's seen in terms of how the hackers got into this system or similar ones, they either that the data was not encrypted at rest or that the server's encryption was fairly easy to break, and then once you got in, you could pull it off in batch. Weatherford added that the organizations like OPM, they hold the crown jewels of this personnel data, and really the security bar should be set higher.
Wow. So if this sophisticated type of attack has been going on for, well, you said since July of 2014. What are they doing about it at Homeland Security?
Well, I think you can assume, based on what the U.S. CERT report said, DHS knew the attack against either OPM or against a broader swath of government agencies and private sector organizations was happening. So about 2 weeks ago, I've learned that DHS Secretary Jay Johnson issued his first, what they call, binding operational directive, a BOD. We got to get used to this one, Tom. Another acronym to throw into the pile. This was to all civilian agencies. Now, the BOD requires agencies to mitigate all critical vulnerabilities on their networks and systems within 30 days, or basically justify to DHS why they can't be mitigated. Now, late Friday, I got a confirmation from DHS that this binding operational directive actually went out. They did not provide a copy. Cy Lee, a DHS spokesperson, says in an email that given the current level of risk to federal systems, Secretary Johnson issued this binding operational directive over May 21st to all federal civilian agencies, again, directing them to mitigate the most critical vulnerabilities on Internet-facing systems within 30 days. If they cannot, they should work with DHS cybersecurity experts to figure out an approach that will help reduce the agency risk. Now, one of my sources says the directive is similar to the Memorandum of Agreement agencies signed with DHS to let them scan their networks in the aftermath of the Heartbleed, the JazzBug vulnerabilities that came up over the last year. The source calls the operational binding directive a big deal because it's going to require far more coordination within the agency among technology and mission areas. The source says DHS is basically saying from here on out, if something is cyber critical, that pretty much trumps everything else agencies need to do, and they need to move out on this immediately. Now, I also spoke with a second source about this binding operational directive, and they say this is, you know, the definition of a critical vulnerability is based on the National Vulnerability Database, which defines critical as anything that having a rating of 10, of course, a scale of 1 to 10. The source says there are probably hundreds of these critical vulnerabilities across government. Now, Tom, DHS got the authority to issue these binding operational directives in the 2014 law, the Federal Information Security Management Modernization Act, FISMA Modernization Act. So this was signed in law in December, and this first one came out just a couple weeks ago.
All right, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Now, looking at it from the individual employee standpoint, who feels he or she might be compromised, and they don't know whether it's for espionage or for stealing personal information to go to Walmart, whatever the case might be, what should federal employees do now? How should they react? How should they protect themselves?
Especially with all this theory about espionage, I think there's several things employees need to do. Obviously, we know OPM will begin sending letters to those 4 million federal employees and retirees that were potentially impacted by the data breach today, starting today. First thing you have to do, obviously, sign up for the free identity theft protection. It's an 18-month deal that OPM's given you. You got to do whatever OPM says to do, you do it. You sign up or whatever. Now, Weatherford says he's likely to be one of those 4 million affected by the breach and recommend taking several other steps, too.
Certainly, you know, monitoring your credit, monitoring your personal information is really important. You have to do that. I mean, that's kind of like jacks are better to open in this game. And again, you know, I even find myself in the throes of breach fatigue. Sometimes I'm like, oh, great, now I've got to go get a new credit card, or I've got to change some of my auto pay features. And so it is a problem, I think, you know, but, you know, some of the things that people should be doing is certainly paying attention, make sure that your banks are monitoring, you know, any kind of transactions that may be unusual and places that you're not aware of and new accounts being set up that you're not aware of, things like that.
Now, Weatherford says OPM, for their part, should move more quickly to implement the tools such as the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, as well as the Einstein Program. Now, one aside here, Tom, let me jump off into Einstein for a second. This is the decade-old, you know, intrusion detection prevention system that DHS has been increasing the capabilities of over the last, I would say, 10 years, and more agencies are getting it. Late on Friday, the White House announced that DHS would expedite the implementation of the Einstein program across 52 agencies. Right now, it's in about 13 agencies, what they're calling Einstein 3A, a 3 meaning third version, A meaning accelerated. So that's another piece of this that the White House is now pushing for from DHS to do more quickly. Again, putting more tax on the DHS cybersecurity folks who are already busy with the CDM program. Now, what's unclear about this, Tom, is whether these tools, CDM, Einstein, would have even stopped the data theft either, anyways. But OPM or whatever agency this will happen to in the future may have known it was happening sooner. So that being said, one source tells me that agencies will need to improve their workforce training. This is all about workforce training now. The person says federal employees need to be extra careful about clicking on links or opening documents and emails because the targeted phishing attacks are coming fast and furious, which means if you get an email from someone that you're not used to getting email from, but it looks like a legitimate email, you should question it. If you get a link that says, hey, Tom, happy birthday, and you're like, hey, I haven't heard from Sue in months or years, that's weird that she's sending me a birthday card, maybe don't click on it. I mean, simple things, but just you have to think more. In fact, Finan says the troves of data stolen over the past 9 months can create a targeting phishing attack that may be, again, very hard to recognize.
As a former government employee, I feel pretty confident saying, you know, the one email that I'm probably always going to open is the one from OPM about my pay and benefits. And that's really disturbing, you know, is they now hold the keys to be able to craft those emails really well to make them seem convincing. And all it takes is one person to click on a message like that, and all of a sudden, you know, these hackers have access to government systems.
Again, you know, talking about training, recognize these types of targeted phishing attacks, look at the details of the email, understand the request. If someone sent you a joke or a video that you've never gotten a joke or video from before, that should be a head scratcher. Again, anything, you know, hey, good seeing you at that conference last week. Did you really see them at the conference? Think about any email you open up going forward. We should be doing that anyways, Tom. You and I know that, but come on. It's going to be even more important now to pay attention.